I am thy Lord, I have heard thy voice, I need to for thy Lord to thee. But I love to rise in your eyes of faith, and be close and wrong to thee. Oh, draw me nearer, 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 Lord,
nearer, nearer,
to
where thou
hast gone. Oh,
draw me nearer,
nearer, nearer, to thy precious
Lord,
Father, speak to us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I am speaking briefly this morning on the subject, the essence of Christianity. The essence of Christianity. What is Christianity all about? What is the use of going to church? What is the product of going to church? There are many in church today for many reasons. There are many today in church merely for religious activity. That is, it's an activity. I belong to a church, my pastor, just normal activity. There are those in church today for maybe a part of social activity as well. And there are those in church in search of miracle. Problems of life, too much. So let me go and let God help me. So you will see very few people who really have a passion for God. So when it is time for worship, maybe he's lifting up a picture. That's what brought him, not God. When it's time to honor God and worship God, he lifts up a litter. That's the main reason why he came. What is the essence of Christianity? I want to say that anything we do in church that did not end us in heaven was a waste of life. Waste. What is the use of the miracle of walking out of a wheelchair and ending in hell? The same person that was healed from the wheelchair ended in hell. What is the use of the kind of miracle that the eyes are opened, the blinded eye was opened, and then the end is still hellfire? What is the use of the miracle of I couldn't marry for 15 years and God gave me a husband, and then the both of them are still in hell at the end? What is the use of the kind of testimony of praise the Lord, I had no child and God blessed me with two boys at the same time, and then the end of it is still hell? What is the use of the kind of miracle of thank God I was zero before I came to church, but now God has blessed me and I'm in billions, and the end is still hell? Waste. I mean, what is the use being in church and then ending in hell with those who didn't go to church at all? Ending in the same place with those who didn't near church at all. Ending in the same place with murderers and killers. Waste. Ending in the same place with prostitutes. Waste. Take your seat. So it is very, very important that we ask ourselves this question: what is the essence of this whole thing? Where we read just now in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible said the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. The reason is they observed them, they looked at them, they knew who they were before, and they are seeing who they are now. Of them, and they realized that something drastically changed. They could look into their lives, and the only thing that their lives reminded them about was Christ. So they gave them the nickname Christian, that is little Christ, the followers of Jesus. We are given that nickname, that is, you remind us of Christ. These are, call them Christlets. The essence of Christianity is one: change into the nature of Christ. Transformation into the nature of Christ. In other words, anybody who has ever known before you ever met Jesus should see you now, and the only thing your life reminds him about is Christ. Your life makes me to think about God. Your life makes me to remember God. Your life makes me feel like a sinner. Change. Transformation. Into the nature, into the character of Christ. That is the major essence of Christianity. It's not one, it's the major essence of Christianity. Is God speaking to someone here today? Christian life that is unchanged is a useless waste of effort. Every church attendance that doesn't change a person's life is a waste of life. Wastage. That is wasting time in church and still ending in the flames of hell. It's a waste. Any attendance to church that does not change a man's life is a waste. Take it from me today. So that, and one of the greatest pain to the father is to see unchanged children coming before him all the time with their character intact. Are you thinking, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord? Like drumming the arrow. Beloved, the greatest tragedy that can befall anybody is to waste time on it, claiming to be serving God, and then finding oneself in the eternal flames of hell. You won't forgive yourself for all eternity. If I had known, I would have been more serious with God. If I had known, I would have taken God more serious, taking the word of God more serious. If I had known, I wouldn't have been just pursuing miracles and following religious activity. And the disciples were called Christians, little Christ, Christlets, first in Antioch. They looked at Jesus Christ one day and they told him, you convict us of sin. In the same manner, people should look at you and you convict them of sin. That is, they look at your life and they feel sinful. For sinners to feel at home around you is an abomination. For unbelievers to feel comfortable in your presence and still carry out their unbelievous lifestyle under your watch is an abomination. It is an evidence of the absence of the nature of Christ. Are you following what I'm saying here? Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. One of the major assignments of any true pastor is to tell people raw truth. I want to tell you this truth. If your life is not impacting on your world, if people are not looking at you and desiring to come closer to God, if people are not changing near you, if your life is not challenging people to become better, then you are wasting your attendance of church. It's a wastage of church attendance. It's the same like being at a beer parlor. It's a wastage of church attendance. The disciples, we are called Christians, first in Antioch. This is the essence of Christianity. Filled with the nature of the master. Filled with the power of the master. Filled with the attributes of your master. That when people look at you, whether they are your friends or your enemies, there is something that they are consistently reminded about. Christ, the presence of God. Let me take it one by one. What areas, what kind of change are we expected as Christians in our lives? Number one is change in life's priorities. Life's priorities. Change in that which matters most to us. Change in life's priorities. The priority of a Christian can never be the same as the priority of the world. Life's priorities. For the child of God, he said, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things that matter most to the world can never be the same thing that matter most to us. Am I communicating? Priority. For the child of God, priority is fellowship and intimacy with God, a life of prayer and fasting, a life of study of the word. When your resources enter your pocket, the first person you want to give money to, it's called the tithe, is God. Those are your priorities. Study of the Bible. Your priorities. I don't know about you, but me, when I wake up in the morning, I don't feel comfortable talking to a man until I have talked to God. Doesn't matter how urgent that phone call is. I don't feel comfortable putting food in my mouth until I have put word in my spirit. This morning, I think if I have not seen any Bible passage, I must have seen up to 10 chapters today before coming here. Not for this service, for my own edification. Do you understand?
I don't know about you,
but I don't feel comfortable spending money until I have given God what belongs to him. Am I speaking to somebody here? In the way we spend our time, spend our money, and focus on our priorities, it determines how chained we are. Unbelievers can watch one movie for 6 hours, but they cannot pray for 30 minutes. If you are like that, even if you come to church and you watch the same movie like them for 6-7 hours, and you cannot pray for 30 minutes, you are not different from them. Unbelievers can sit in a hairdressing salon for 10 hours, 12 hours. And I don't have a problem with that. And they cannot pray for 15 minutes. And if you are like that, and you focus there, and you have no time to pray and study, you are not different from them. What are the priorities of our lives? How can somebody say he is now a child of God and the priorities did not change? What matters to you most doesn't change. No. Except it is not the real Jesus Christ. The one that changed our lives. Is God speaking to somebody here? Take your seat. Priorities. The things that matter to you the most. You come to a point in your life where the spiritual has more attention than any other thing. It is change. Change in life's priorities. Number two is change in habit and lifestyle. Change in habit and lifestyle. Change in conduct. Habit and lifestyle. When an unbeliever comes late for work and he came by 9 o'clock, he will still write 7:45 or 7:30. When a Christian does the same thing, he's headed to the same destination with that sinner. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When unbelievers carry their products, they mix cement with some things or rebag some things so that they can make more gain. They mix petrol and kerosene or something so you can increase in bulk. All right? They do all manner of things. If a child of God has the same kind of habit, he has the same destination with the sinner. I was in the aircraft one day and a man sat near me and he was calling. Well, I think we're at Abuja Airport here. He said, oh yes, I'm speaking to you from Lagos now. And I am hearing him and we are seated here. And I looked at myself and said, what a life. And he's about to fly. And supposing something happens to him, he just lied before he died. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Whenever a person has become a Christian, all those who used to know you before will truly confess that this man changed. Ah, if it was his before, you can't talk to him like that. If it was his before, you cannot escape him. What kind of Christianity is this? Where unbelievers are cheating inside the exam. Christians are cheating inside the exam. I mean, we live in a generation today where some examination halls is more like a discussion center. The teacher turns his back. Question papers and answers have been exchanged. There are people with degree certificate today, and that certificate is not higher than toilet paper, than toilet tissue, because they don't deserve such a degree. They cheated their way to have an ordinary paper that is not higher than tissue paper. And then on their destiny's journey, they are wondering why they are struggling, and they are putting pastor under pressure to pray for miracle to happen. For a degree that they did not earn. Is somebody hearing something here today? Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That the whole world is doing it does not make it right. The standard of God remains sure. It remains very, very sure. There are centers they call miracle centers. Nobody fails. A. What a useless A. Hellbound A. Distinction in hellology. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? What a waste. What a waste of time. Waste of life. Waste of energy. There are those who are working today. They have to lie to reduce their age so that they can get. Somebody brought me document some time ago and wanted me to pray for her. Pray for my CV. And unfortunately, I knew the approximate age of that person. And I saw this date of birth, 1975. Where date of birth is around 1967. Or something there about. 1975. What? This is not your age. Yes, you know, they said if I have to get a job, I have to reduce my age. And you agree to do such a thing. Shouldn't such a job go to hell? It's better to remain unemployed than to get such a job that is a useless job. Money that won't profit you. And the outcome is eternity in the flames of hell. Is God speaking to somebody here? Take your seat. There must be. Now, let me tell you what happened today. I was going to do something this morning. And I needed some cash. My wife is in charge of my cash. So it is possible that I have no one naira in my pocket now. And she traveled. And I wanted to do something. And there was 3,000 naira beside the bedside. So I counted it and I gave it. I was giving it to somebody and I gave it. And I called her. And I said, sorry, I saw a 3,000 naira beside the bed. I don't know what it is for, but I have given it out. She said, okay, no problem. That is for so and so. Now, you can imagine in the house, I'm in all probability that money should be my money. But I was not sure who has it. And what it is meant for, I have to take permission from my own wife. I'm not bragging. I'm not trying to prove anything. My conscience wouldn't be clear if I didn't do that. Take your seat. It won't be. So he said, oh no, it's for so and so and so. Thank God that money was available for you to go ahead and so. So it's all right. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But there are many times that somebody is giving money from the office. And there's something they call the retirement of account. To retire and say, this was what and what. Not that they gave you and say, this is your allowance for this. But this is something to be retired. No change. Take this, no change. Yet, church going does not stop. In fact, you come early and stay until everybody has left. What is the use of church attendance that does not change lives? And what is the use of church attendance that still ends the man in hell? There must be change. Change in habit. There must be change in lifestyle. Thirdly, there must be change in appearance. Change in appearance, change in look. I don't care what anybody says. There is a godly look. And there is an ungodly look. If you see a real godly person, there is a look they carry. An appearance, a persona. If you see an ungodly person, there is a look. Let nobody deceive us. That we live in an era of liberty and everything is permissive is a lie from the pit of hell. When Christianity, the missionaries came to this nation and to the nations of Africa, they didn't need to advertise themselves. Before you knew, these were godly people. They came, gave us godly culture. I know in those days, in the village, based on both correct culture and godly culture, ladies will find it difficult to sit on bicycle like this. They sit and cross their leg on the other side. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? That's the level of decency and modesty. They sit on the other side like this. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. And cross their leg like this. Today, you don't know the difference between man and woman in terms of anything. Am I communicating? You see, Solomon talked about the attire of a harlot. In Proverbs chapter 7 and in verse 10, he saw a woman, he said, with the attire of a harlot. Proverbs 7:10. And somebody said, there is no dress like that. What is the attire of the harlot? The attire of the harlot is the attire that markets the flesh as a good for use. Markets the flesh as a product to be exploited. Right? When you come to any organization, they market their products. In these end times, there is too much flesh marketing going on. The tighter, the better. Tight at the back, tight at the chest, tight at the sides, so that you can properly market flesh. They wear it to the disco and wear it to church. And we say God is not watching. Why do we deceive ourselves? You clap and sing for nothing and still end in hell. You understand? The tighter the belt is, the marketing of the flesh. Instead of us advertising our spirituality, we are a generation of people advertising our carnality. See how fat my chest is. See how fat my back is. See how fat my sides are. Just take a look. Just take a look. And when people look at you, the first thing that comes to their mind is immorality. You are now directing people in directions that will lead them in damnation. And yet, I am a daughter of Zion. I am a child of God. What happens to decency? What happened to dignity? Do you understand what I'm talking about? One of the worst things that can happen to a church person is to become a tool in the hand of Satan. Do you understand? The devil has filled his daughters and sons with demonic spirits that makes them to advertise the assignment of Satan and lead as many people to hell. And the tragedy is that many children of God has joined the children of the devil to fulfill Satan's vision. Take your seat. Look at all the men sitting here. Very rare before you will see anybody with an open chest. And even if he's not wearing a tie, his button is on the neck here. For the women, it's the opposite. The cleavage of the chest must be open. The things that used to be hidden in those days are now to be exposed to the damnation of the world. And we wear like that and come to church. And the challenge is that grandmothers are still wearing the same thing. There is no age difference anymore. I saw a woman drawing my attention at the reception the other day. Elderly woman, wrinkled everywhere. And yet is still exposing the chest and the cleavage. I say, what a madness is this? It's a demon. It's a spirit. A spirit of the age that is defiling the world and then trying to defile the church. I must be resisted. Kind of God changed your life and did not change your wardrobe. When I gave my life to Christ, my wardrobe changed. I am a man, but my wardrobe changed. Take your seat. You know, let me tell you sincerely how I feel. When you are coming to church for a service like this and you see some people going as if it is disco party they are entering, the question you ask yourself is, am I wasting my time? Do you understand? Just see. He's trying to buy you anointing oil. He's trying to buy communion things. Yeah? Tight back, chest open. His church is walking into. Not nightclub. Face looking like masquerade for diver's paints.
His church is entering. Question is, am I wasting my life? Very discouraging. Says, preach anything you want. I will appear anywhere I want. I will live anyhow I like. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we have a lot of unbelievers watching around here. Many of the other religion all over here. And they are watching. It is church they are entering. Nobody enters their own place of worship like that. No wonder they don't take the church serious. They don't. They think that they are hypocrites and deceivers. Because at least the normal human mind knows what spirituality should look like. A spiritual person at least should look like this. Take your seat. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying here? It's not a matter of rules and regulations. Let your conscience convince you. The way you are looking, do you represent the kingdom? If the master appears suddenly, can he call you, daughter, how are you? When was the last time somebody looked at you and became born again because of your look? When was the last time your life convicted somebody? That somebody was ready to follow God? You haven't even spoken yet. St. Augustine of old said, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. You know the meaning of that? Let your life be the major preaching. Yeah? When was the last time your life preached and people changed? Not because you said anything, but because they watched you. When Moses delivered his daughters of Jethro, their father asked him, how come you came home so early today? He said, an Egyptian helped us. Was that Exodus chapter 2 verse 21 or thereabout, located and placed on the screen? An Egyptian assisted us. And this 2:19, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds. That was Jethro, the sons of the daughters of Jethro. When Moses assisted them and fetched water, say an Egyptian. Can I ask you a question? Was Moses an Egyptian? Why did they say an Egyptian? He grew up in the palace of Pharaoh and dressed in the attire of Egypt. So when they saw him, they said, an Egyptian. There was nothing that could show them he was a Hebrew. How can you say there is no Egyptian dress style? Ayagalabadaba. There is an appearance befitting for the Hebrews, and there is an appearance of the Egyptian. In our own village, if they see you some kind, they say, see prostitute going. In our village, if they see you some kind, the way some people appear in church now, if it was on, they say, see prostitute going. You say the same in your village. See prostitute going. You have not. They don't know where you are going. You may even be carrying Bible going to church. Say, see prostitute going. Because there is an Egyptian lifestyle. And there is a Hebrew lifestyle. And God is calling us today to take him seriously and take our souls seriously so that nobody blames him after death. Take your seat. They were called Christians first in Antioch, right? And then our lives are meant to light for the world when they look at you. Not that usher is standing and it's also a temptation there, or somebody greeting people and welcoming people to church. No, change is in appearance, look. I said there is a godly look and there is an ungodly look. Number four, change is in association. It is not possible to maintain the same associations, ungodly associations, if you have come to the master. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be not. Association. Show me your friends, I show you your future. Show me who speaks into your life, and I show you where you will end like Adam. Association. You are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, tongue talking. Your closest friend is a drunkard. Closest friend is a smoker. Closest friend is a chaser. Closest friend is a homosexual.
I said, no, no problem. He cannot convince me to do what he's doing. We just knew each other long ago. For where?
You see, have you ever seen where fly is playing on top of hot stove? Even if the fly woke up and say, I dreamt a dream, I was on hot stove playing. Is that dream possible? You are fire, and they are garbage, and they can be around you and not suffocate. I have people I knew before who avoid me like a plague. Because your mere appearance torments their soul. It convinces them. It makes them know that you are wasting your life. Change on time. You haven't preached yet. There is something about you that makes them feel very irresponsible and useless. So they stay away. They stay away. Until they are ready to change, they don't come near you.
Your own is an unbeliever. Carry on. Hello, how now? When we go see next? See, I did go to church. Okay, when you come back, come, make we see. He is not going to church. When you come back from church, make we see. I beg, make you pray for us there.
He's mocking you. Mocking your God. When did you become a prayer contractor? I beg, make you put us for prayer there. One day, you will taste his beer. One day, he will advertise to you certain lifestyles. One day, he will connect you with something and say, it's not too bad. It's not, don't take the God. It's not like that. Begins to preach to you. Before you know it, your fire is lost. Before you know it, your edge is lost. No, sir. They called them Christians first in Antioch. Concerning the apostles in Acts of the Apostles chapter 5, he said the rest of the world could not join themselves to them. They found it hard to join to them. Why? Because their lives were, it was fire. And you cannot play around fire. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Is God speaking to somebody here? The essence of Christianity is change. It is change. It is change. Finally, it is change in atmosphere. Change in the atmosphere, or what you call the aura of our lives. There is an atmospheric change that happens to the life of a Christian. An atmospheric change. You didn't mean all that? Before, there was an ungodly presence around you. Now, when people see you, they feel something. They smell something. They sense something. Me and my wife and I were in a shop in New Jersey, in America. Just stepped in. One man looked at me. After a while, and he said, are you a pastor? I said, why? He said, it is written all over you. It is written all over you. We have never met in life. I have never met him since that day. It is written all over you. I was flying to Asaba the other day. A man sat near me. And he said, sorry, sir, are you a pastor? I was flying to Port Harcourt the other day. A senator sat near me. And he said, excuse me, are you a pastor? I was in Wembley area of London, England. They were checking us to a hotel. Someone of the other religion from North Africa looked at me and said, what you have, I need it. My wife and I. And when we sat down, we asked her, what are you talking about? She said, there is something you have and I need it. I said, it is Jesus Christ. She said, I need him. There is an atmosphere, sir. There is an aura that a real child of God carries is an aura of sanctification that is contrary to the present day seduction aura. Present day carnality aroma. Present day fleshly aura that we see. There is something on you that somebody sees and says, look, there, you are different. Something is different about you. There is that soberness on the face. There is that meekness of the spirit. There is that sweetness of the spirit of Christ that is feelable, that people see. And when that change has not happened, something is wrong. Sister, when unbelievers keep on pursuing you and say, hi, baby, can I check yourself? There is something that is pulling them. Right? If there is that Holy Ghost atmosphere I'm talking about, they look at you with respect. They look at you with dignity. Initially, they may feel attracted because of the favor and the character. But when they come close, they will realize this is not the other type. This is the godly type of attractiveness. And they will respect it. Is God speaking to somebody here today? Take your seat. I round off by saying, what shall it profit a man if he spends his life in the church and end in hell? What shall it profit a woman if she spends her days in the church and still ends in hell? I like to say that nothing is authentic and genuine that we have until change has happened and until our eternity is guaranteed. How do we see change? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 18 he said, we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, beholding as in a glass. Can I say to you something? Something? If you want to look like Christ, look at Christ. What you look at determines what you look like. Beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. We are seeing the Lord and we are changed into his image. We are looking at him and we begin to look like him. You know the challenge we have today in our generation? We look at each other. That is a wonderful sister in the Lord. And if she can dress like that, then it means it's all right. That is even a pastor's wife. And if she can appear like that, then it's all right. That is a Holy Ghost firebrand brother. And if you can do like this, then it's all right. Who told you that man is your standard? No matter how anointed. Who told you that man is your standard? Except the man is following Christ. In total, like Paul the Apostle say, follow me as I follow Christ. Stand up on your feet. Who's told you? A lot of us, we have looked at people and then say, oh, no, yeah, okay, we're all, you know, if that sister, I know that sister is very, very spiritual. And for some of us in relationship, marriage is honorable in all. The bed don't defile. Don't say that sister is spiritual enough, she will not fall. And then you, the man, you relax. Or don't say that brother is too spiritual to fall me. He knows what he's doing. No, be so. No. Those issues are issues of autonomic nervous system. They are not. There comes a time when the central nervous system is the one that most of the time deals with voluntary action. Autonomous is involuntary. A time coming, certain iniquitous arenas where it is after everything is over, you are aware of what happened. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But the point is, stop looking at people and saying, if it is all right for that person, it's all right with me. Start looking at the master. Start looking at the scripture. Start looking at the word and let it be clear that it's only what the word approves that you approve. And then be real to yourself. Don't despise your conscience. Alright? Alright? As you pray and you carry the real Holy Ghost inside you, He will tell you that dress, you can't wear it. You stand before the mirror, your chest is open. And the Holy Ghost is telling you, you are looking like a prostitute. Go and change. And now, I don't blame many of us. Do you know why? Because the fashion of our generation is also getting very demonic. You go to buy cloth and the only one they can give you is the one that is cleft. Hello? The one that is say, tailor, make dress for me. You make it, half of the shoulder is out. And half of the chest is out. That's what tailor made for you. Am I communicating? That's made, they have made cloth like that for my wife. They brought it. And say, this was despite the fact that I told the tailor that the neck must be high. He said, this is high neck. If I had said the head, if I didn't say anything, where would it have been? So I said, this is not wearable. He said, I know. So he had to look for another tailor to patch it at the chest to increase it to the neck level where it is. What are we advertising? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So we live in that kind of world today. Somebody even went to say he went to buy baby cloth and he couldn't, child cloth, 3-4 year old girl. He couldn't find a decent one. All armless. And the baby is growing now, showing the whole arm from childhood. When he grows up, he will improve on it. See? That is why God has to anoint Christians to start fashion lines and show the world. You see, God has to anoint us in several realms so that we can take these things over from the world, or at least do it for ourselves. Those who want the worldly one can go and buy that one. But there is a place where you can enter and buy cloth and can be sure that what you are buying is wearable. They struggle. They say a woman can also wear jeans and all those kind of things. Now, if you look at our own, there is a difference. See the way our own is. See all the men here. But their own is permanently under pressure. Permanently under pressure. The lapel is so short, both front and back. And you think it is accidental. It is, they are manufacturing it from hell. I mean, and it has entered everywhere now. Even children cartoon now. See all manner of subtle suggestions. Subtle introductions. Little child is watching man and man, boyfriend, girlfriend, and it is normal in the cartoon. God will deliver us. God will deliver us. I believe change is coming today. And I believe that this message is going to be broadcast on the air, and it's going to be even broadcast in the church in whatever way we can. And I believe that, see, the critical thing is, if God is God, let's serve Him. If we are serving, let's serve Him well. And if we are not serving Him, let's make up our mind. So that we don't assume. Papa Yedepo said, assumption brings frustration. We don't assume and then end up frustrated in time and eternity. Let's do it well. Lift up your hands. Appreciate Him for His word to you.
Until I read my home, oh, until I reach my home, I will never stop my journey halfway. Until I reach my home. Until I reach my home. Until I reach. until I reach my home. Oh, until I reach my home.
I will never, never stop my journey halfway.
Your voice, until I reach my home. For the final time.
Until I reach my home. Until I reach my home. I will never let my God.
Open your mouth and speak to God. Lord, help me to be a child of God indeed. Help me, Lord, to be a changed person. In all those areas of change your servant mentioned, help me, Lord, to be a changed person. Help me, Lord, to be a changed person. Open your mouth and speak to God. Help me, Lord, to be a changed person. Help me, Lord, to be a changed person. In my life's priorities, in my habits and lifestyle, in my conduct, in my appearance, help me to be a changed person. Help me, Lord, in my association, to be a changed person. In the atmosphere around my life, to be a changed person. And we all remain standing right now. The altar is where eternity issues are settled. Pastor, I am touched by the message. I want change. I know my life is not changed. I want change. I'd like you to come forward, carry your Bibles and your bags. Those who want to hand over their life to Jesus, who want their sins forgiven, who want to make it right, the altar is also free. Those who backslid, maybe you are on fire for God before, but you be slid back, the altar is free for you. Those who want a habit broken, smoking, drinking, lesbianism, homosexuality, whatever it is, lying, cheating, The altar is free as well. And any other thing between you and God that must be settled so that your eternity can be guaranteed, the altar is free. I will give you the count of 10, and don't be the last to come, and be the first to come from this main sanctuary, from the gallery, from the overflows, from everywhere you are, and those watching via the satellite or the internet, let us know that you are making this decision.
Draw me nearer, nearer to thee.
One,
Lord,
rush forward quickly.
Draw me nearer, nearer to thee.
Two, draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer,
nearer to thee. Three,
draw me nearer, nearer to thee.
My song every day.
My song
every day.
Father, draw me nearer.
Four. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. My song every day.
My song
every day.
Father, draw me nearer.
Five. Keep coming. My song every day.
My song
every day.
Father, draw me
my song every day.
Draw
six. Keep coming. My song every day.
My song
every day.
Father, draw me.
Draw me nearer. Seven. Keep coming. My song every day.
Father, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer.
Eight, keep coming. My song every day.
My song every day.
Don't be the last
Father,
to come.
Draw me nearer.
Draw
me nearer to thee.
Nine, my song every day.
My song
every day. My song every day.
Father, draw
my song
me
every
nearer.
Day. Every day. Ten, my song every day.
My song
every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day.
Draw me nearer to
I am dying, oh Lord. I have heard thy voice. Bow me to thy Lord to me. But I long to rise in your arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, Lord.
Draw me nearer,
nearer, nearer, nearer, Lord.
Nearer,
nearer, blessed Lord,
to God,
to the cross
where thou art God.
Draw me nearer,
nearer,
blessed Lord,
to thy presence.
Draw me nearer, Lord.
Draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer, Lord.
Nearer, blessed Lord,
to thy cross
where thou art thou.
Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord,
to thy precious bleeding
to thy precious.
To thy precious.
One more time.
To thy precious.
To thy precious.
Leading star.
Remain upstanding, everybody. Everybody be upstanding. It is not a time to say people will look at me. You know that you are battling with something. Battling with drinking. Battling with smoking. Battling with immoral lifestyle. You are battling. Don't let the battle swallow you. Don't die in that battle. Come, let Jesus help you. Maybe you got a job by false declaration of age. Maybe you got something by lying. Come and make it right now. Don't say, I'll go and do it at home. Don't give the devil that chance. Settle it on this altar. I'll give you the count of 10. There are even people here now, you have things on you that are points of contact for evil. A charm, cigarette stick, a condom on your body as I'm talking now. Don't go away without a touch from God. There's that lady, the car you are driving, it was immorality that gave it to you. Not to judge you, but God wants to change you. House you are living was given to you by immoral relationship. Not to judge you, but to change you. God does not, his aim is not to send, to see how many we can send to hell. No, no. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. Please come.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for me. Tender up his cross and begin to fly. Calling, oh sinner, come home.
Come home,
come home.
You have the lyrics, you place it on the screen.
Oh, you who are weary, come home. Tenderly, softly, Jesus is calling. Calling for sinners, come home.
Come home,
come home, come home.
Come home,
come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Endlessly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home,
come home.
Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Endlessly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinners.
One more time, come home,
come home,
oh, come home.
Calling, oh sinners, come home,
come home,
come home,
come home.
He who are weary, come home. Endlessly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinners, come home.
Lift up your hands, those of you in the front. Everybody be up standing and still lift up your hands. Everybody seated, please stand. I gave the call to those you are battling with a habit, rising and falling, a yoke, something you are not able to do without. You are being overpowered. I spoke with a man battling with homosexuality for almost 7 years, and he said that the last time he made an attempt to come out, a man appeared to him and said, I beg, don't leave me. That's a man, spirit husband, appearing to a man, homosexual. Please don't leave me. You have been given to me by covenant. So there are habits that is not you that can change it. You say, I'll go and change. There are yokes that need to be broken. That man was battling with a masculine demon that say, you have been covenanted to me, I begged. And he has been a pastor for 8 years with grace and gift. He said, give me a church today, under 4 months you will not recognize it, but this problem. He sacked him out of ministry. You see, so there are things that you need power to break. You need power to break it. So you are here battling with a habit, something that is pulling you down all the time. You try to rise, it pushes you down. Please come forward. One, I give you the count of ten. Two, man to man, woman to woman, whatever it is. Three.
Jesus is calling.
Four.
Calling, oh sinner, come on.
Endlessly, tenderly.
Endlessly, tenderly. Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come on.
You have the first stanza.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portal, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me.
Come home,
come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. He's calling, calling, oh sinners, come home.
Two.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and hear not his mercy?
Come home,
come home, come home.
Three.
Come home, endlessly tenderly. Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner.
Stanza three.
Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing from you and for me. Oh, shadows are gathering and better are coming. Coming for you and for me.
Come home,
come home,
come home. This last stanza.
Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me.
Come home,
come home. Come home, you are weary, come home, endlessly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Everybody be on your feet, every single person, that is those in the crowd. What a day. I believe it's a new day for somebody. And I believe this is the essence of church. I believe also this is the most important miracle. After this, any other miracle can happen. Amen. If you are with something you need to drop on the altar, please feel free and drop it. Something on you are holding now that is sinful, or that is a point of contact or connection to sin. I'd like you to drop it right on the altar. Let it be a physical demonstration that you are being set free. Maybe you carry a ring that is evil or occultic or a charm or something. Or something that is iniquitous and you want to surrender. Go ahead and do so right now. If somebody is coming from behind, please give them the space. Yes, please give her the space.
Anybody who needs to drop something, drop it. And don't mock anybody, because what are those, madam? Drop them.
Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling your sin.
Please give her the space there. It's well with you, it's all right. Why are you dropping that phone? But your contacts are inside, is it?
Jesus is calling us sinners. Come.
If there is any other person on that side, please drop them. Lift up your two hands, everybody. And say after me, Lord Jesus, I receive your mercy. I receive your grace. Now I want to let us know that the Bible said it's not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You say by grace you stand. See, nobody is standing by power. Say, I can't, or try me and see. No. By grace, by help. There is nobody that can stand on his feet without the help of God. Am I communicating? It takes the help, so don't overbrag. Right? So you are going to make demands on grace. Lord, the grace to say no to the wrong thing. I am not trusting on my willpower. I am not trusting on my ability. I am trusting on your grace. The grace to say no to the wrong thing. The grace to do the right thing. I receive it now. I receive it now. Open your mouth and speak to God. I receive it now. The grace to say no to the wrong thing. The grace to stand. The grace to do the right thing. I receive it. I receive it.
Nearer
my God to thee.
Nearer my God to thee.
And ask for grace, still stands the one. I receive the grace to stand. The grace to stand and do the right thing. Grace.
Oh.
Mashata kalabadaba. Everybody lift up your hands where you are now. We have documents here with wrong declaration of age. Right there, surrendered before God. This is something like an enhancement drug. CB with wrong declarations. Cigarettes. All manner of things are here. Lift up your two hands now. I speak to everyone here today. The grace, the help, the mercy to live for God is released upon you. In the name of Jesus, the help, the mercy, the grace to live for God is released upon you. The yoke of sin is broken. Help from above is released. I declare today a new day for you. Everyone here with a habit, a character, a lifestyle, a weakness, a stronghold that is battling with your relationship with God. The spirit of addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, tobacco addiction, pornographic addiction, immoral addiction, homosexual addiction, lesbian addiction, every spirit of lie, every spirit of cheating, every spirit of fraud, every spirit of mammon, every god of money, I arrest you in the lives of the people. The spirit of pride, arrogance, bitterness. Your tenure expires now. In the name of Jesus, you are living these lives at the count of three. In the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Shout go! Shout go! No! In the name of Jesus, so shall it be.